Mary, the highly favored lady. Who do you think of when you think of someone who is highly favored? The number one draft pick? The golden child? The pick of the litter? When we think about the highly favored around us, in our midst, it immediately eliminates the vast majority of us by default. Because in the logic of this world, there's always, as my daughter Olivia says, the first winner. And in a dog-eat-dog world, the shiniest, the most compelling, the most successful often holds the spot as the most highly favored. I think sometimes our imagery around Mary supports this concept of her for us. Clothed with the sun, a crown of 12 stars on her head, the moon at her feet, fair-skinned, gentle Mary. Today we have an encounter with the most highly favored lady, Mary, the mother of God, just after she's received news of her pregnancy. I think it's important to get a realistic picture of Mary. In the eyes of the world, Mary was actually a nobody. She was a poor girl living in a rural village in an occupied country. She was an unwed mother, young, scrappy, that's how I imagine her, and she just received news from the angel, "You are highly favored." In the first parish I served as a priest, there was a Sunday school teacher who made buttons for each of the fourth and fifth graders. And on it, it read, "God's favorite child." She ended every class by saying, "And remember, each and every one of you, you are God's favorite child." And even as a priest who is well-versed in the knowledge of God's grace and favor, I thought it was a little ridiculous. What kind of complex was this woman going to give these little kids? All of them are God's favorite child. I think many of us probably would have had the same sentiment about Mary, the young, scrappy teenager who was favored to carry and bear within her very body God's very self. One place I was reading wrote this week, "It is no small thing to be highly favored by God, especially when you are acutely aware of how preposterous this idea truly is, that every one of us is the first winner." God did not say about Mary, "Well, she's just a kid," or, "Well, she didn't really come from much." Instead, God takes Mary seriously, trusts her, puts her to work. One of the young family small group members at Calvary listened last weekend as we recounted in a Bible study we were doing the story of Joseph finding out he's called to take Mary as his wife, and Mary discovering she's called to be the mother of Jesus. And this member of the small group said, "You guys, stop! Do you hear this? Isn't this amazing? If God favors Joseph, this regular old worker, and if God favors Mary, this commonplace, scrappy teenage girl, that means that God could also favor us. God could have big things in store for ordinary me," she said. Dorothy Day once wrote, "If Mary had appeared in Bethlehem, clothed, as St. John says, with the sun, a crown of 12 stars on her head, and the moon under her feet, then people would have fought to make room for her. But that was not God's way for her, nor is it Christ's way for himself. Now, when he is disguised under every type of humanity that treads the earth." How amazing and how terrifying and awe-inducing and preposterous it is. You are highly favored by God. And even more preposterous, Christ is actually disguised as you. For Mary, the wonder of it all manifests in a song. It's one of the most powerful songs in history, precisely because it flips upside down all of our notions of favor and honor and strength, and it lifts up the common, the vulnerable, and the weak. With all my heart, I glorify the Lord, Mary says. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God, my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants forever. The favored ones, numbered as numerous as the stars of Abraham's descendants. So we're on this fourth Sunday of Advent when we in the church have just a few hours more of anticipation of the hope of what's to come in the birth of Jesus Christ. And that means that there's hope in these final hours for us. There's hope to Abraham's descendants, as numerous as the stars. Even we who are ultimately just specks of stardust in the vastness of our universe, there is hope. There's hope on the horizon, and this hope is especially powerful among those who are oppressed, grieving, living in uncertainty as they look toward the future. There's hope today for you who come having always been in second place or even last place. There's hope for those of you who live in fear. There's hope for those of you who sometimes feel like you're on the outside. The coming one may not resolve all our problems, but today's scripture gives us an image of God looking upon us and seeing all that is possible for us. So hear this today. God favors you. And when you start to claim the truth of God's great favor and love for you, it will change the way you see yourself. It will change the way you see the world. When the angel told Mary she was highly favored by God, her first reaction was confusion, fear, and quiet resolution. And I think it's Elizabeth. That's what it took for her to see it. Elizabeth was the person that Mary knew and could trust and respect. Elizabeth not only instantly recognized this in Mary, but the child inside her womb leapt with delight to confirm it. Who's the person that you look to, or maybe you used to look to when you were younger, when you wanted to be reminded of the best parts of who you are? This past week, I watched a movie on Netflix called Dumplin'. It was one of those feel-good, easy-watching movies that actually had a much deeper and more profound point. It follows Willadine Dumplin' Dixon. She was a self-proclaimed fat girl who always had been comfortable in her own skin. She starts to work in this local fast food joint, and there's this really good-looking guy who's her coworker. And he suddenly takes an interest in her. And she starts to face some of misgivings she's had about herself and her lifelong failure to live up to her former beauty queen mom's expectations. And Willa Dean, in the movie, starts to call to mind all of these memories of her late Aunt Lucy. Lucy and Willa Dean have a relationship much like I imagine Elizabeth had with Mary. Ultimately, Willa Dean summons years of Aunt Lucy's confidence, the ways she built her confidence and assured her. And overweight Willa Dean decides to take back her confidence by doing the most horrifying thing she can imagine, entering the Miss Clover City beauty pageant her mother won in 1991. And the movie affirms the truth that no matter who we are, no matter where we fall in the favor of this world, we are each God's favorite child. Now you just have to go watch the movie to see how Willa Dean just owns this pageant. In a flashback, her Aunt Lucy assures her, "I've wasted a lot of time in my life. I've thought too much about what people will say or what they're going to think. And sometimes it's over silly things like going to the grocery store or to the post office. But there have been times I really stopped myself from doing something very special. All because I was scared someone might look at me and decide I wasn't good enough. But you don't have to bother with that nonsense. I wasted all that time, so you don't have to." It takes reassurance and relationship and trust to really start to fully own it. And it also takes hearing the truth over and over again that yes, you are indeed God's favorite child. Just the way you are. You are highly favored. And this truth has the potential to turn the world upside down. Indeed, it's the thing that did turn the world upside down, and it's what's at the heart of what this season's all about. In the name of Jesus, the one who is to come. Amen.